Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, Eagle Scouts. Pete Donaldson and Luke Moore with me and him and you and us. It's the Luke and Pete Show. It is Thursday, the 10th of November. At this juncture of the show, I usually turn to my friend Luke Moore and say, Luke, how the devil are you?
Very well, thank you.
No, sorry. That's not me asking you. Get it together, sorry. Luke. How are you? There we go. That was the question.
I'm fine, thanks.
Oh, don't be a little prick.
When you did add hello to you and you and you, every fibre of my being to stop myself going and ba ba ba. But you literally cannot sing the theme tune to Jim Will Fix It these days.
Oh, it is Jim. Yeah. For some reason, I thought it was Record Breakers.
Well, that'll be fine.
For some reason, the Jim Will Fix It theme. Well,
there's no mud on Roy Castle's flag. Cheryl
Baker,
thank you very much.
What's she been up to?
I don't know. Can't speak on behalf of Cheryl, but Roy.
So few. Roy Castle, beyond reproach. Yeah. And he died a long time ago.
The trumpet.
I was really into Roy Castle when I was a kid. I thought he was an athlete. He wasn't, was he? He was just an entertainer who played the trumpet.
But have you ever seen that video? I think it's Roy Castle. I'm going to say it's Roy Castle and Bruce Forsyth, maybe.
We're off and running. Yeah, we're up and
absolutely
running.
You're up and running.
1 minute in.
So, because I think you're right about Roy. I think, first of all, a lot of people listening to this are going to be confused, but that's their problem. They're going to have to pick up their phone. They're going to have to type in Roy Castle into Google, and they're going to have to check it out themselves. But I think...
It was the Ryan Seacrest of the...
That is harsh on him, and I'm going to tell you why.
Spectrum 48K generation.
I'm going to tell you why that's harsh on him. Because there's a great video, I think, from maybe the late 50s, the early 60s, of old grainy BBC black and white footage of Roy Castle and Bruce Forsyth. And it is... astonishingly good. So basically, it's from that era where to be an entertainer, you had to be able to do everything.
You had to dance. Yeah. So you had to be able to dance. You had to be able to sing. You had to be able to play an instrument. You had to have a little party trick sort of thing.
And so in this video I'm talking about, and we'll get Rory to dig it out, or I'll try and find it. They start off singing, beautiful singing voices, song from the shows, nice stuff. Nothing vicious. And then they're both tap dancing across the stage. Together, perfect unison, brilliant.
Yeah.
One of them gets down at the piano, starts plonking away, plays a brilliant tune on the piano, while the other one does a little sing-song. They go back again. It's unbelievable. And I think to say that Ryan Seacrest, of all people, could contribute that kind of contribution to our entertainment discourse, I think is wrong, and I think you know it's wrong.
I do know it's wrong.
But I think Roy deserves a bit of credit. He's played a trumpet on Record Breakers. He seemed genuinely into the records being broken, which I think is an important part of it. He invested himself in it. And I think...
Categorically not a paedophile as well.
Exactly.
Which you can't say that about every man. And I was driving when I visited my sister a few weeks ago. She lives in a close that has an alarming amount of roads named after the yew tree. Now... Yew trees, they've had a bad, terrible, imagine, you know, being the PR manager for the yew tree, you just cannot buy a hosting gig.
Well, what's really depressing about that, is that I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that until Operation Yew Tree, I think the oldest tree in Britain was, of course, as I'm sure we all know, the Fortingall Yew in Scotland, which was a yew tree, right? I mean, it's been dated like 5,000 years. It's in a churchyard. I've actually been there. It's in a churchyard somewhere in Scotland.
Beautiful roots.
Yeah, and now no one talks about that. And I think that's a shame. Because if you are Britain's oldest tree, but no one mentions it because of some, basically, investigation into historic sexual abuse in the BBC, I think that's, obviously, for many reasons, that particular yew tree isn't the real victim here. But I think that that's a shame for people of the yew tree persuasion, because, you know, now that's all it's known
the
for.
The yew tree persuasion.
I think I'm also right in saying that Paul Gambaccini wrote a book called My Year Under the Yew Tree, where he was like incorrently accused of all sorts of stuff and
dragged through the mud.
So, you know, it's a shocking state of affairs. We started off talking about Roy Castle. Inevitably, we've ended up talking about historical issues at the BBC. That's a shame.
I will say, they do have a good fucking line in supporting these characters until it comes to the point where they can't support these characters, aka your friend of mine, Timmy Westwood. Yeah. Like, things like that, we sort of go, he was employed very recently by the BBC. Yeah. Very recently. And they have a terrible reputation for just keeping people kicking around who have clearly got a lot of fucking skeletons in their fucking closet, so to speak, and it's shocking, and they do themselves great discredit by doing that. I've said this before about that weird start. I'm not saying anything was paedophilic behaviour was exhibited, and it's 6 minutes in. Well done, Peter. But nice. There's that, I brought it up before, there's that astonishing video of Iggy Pop on a breakfast TV show with David Bowie, who talks eloquently about he cuts himself on stage because he let himself down because he left a 13 or 14 year old girl at an airport while he was on tour. Now, that story has no admission of guilt, no admission of anything, but it does sort of go, what are you hanging around with a fucking 14-year-old girl at an airport, right? And he says that, and everyone sort of laughs, sort of thing, because it was the 70s/80s. And he's been employed by BBC Six Music and treated like this old sage for such a long time. Mm. And I'm sort of going, like, you keep doing this to yourselves, BBC. You keep leaving yourself open to this kind of stuff because they're rock legends, because they've got an incredible back catalogue. It's. I find it astonishing that they keep on doing this every single time. And Tim Westwood is the latest example of someone who's clearly exhibiting fucking pretty awful behaviour.
You're not going to get a job at Six Music, mate. It's gone.
That's why
they
doing it.
They don't want you, mate.
I'm burning all my bridges, mate.
They don't
mate.
Want you.
Give me Iggy Pop's job. I'll tell you about my album I wrote in Germany.
Yeah, they don't want you, mate. But by the way, I would just say this, and I'm not levelling this at anyone in particular. If you do want evidence of, shall we say, quote-unquote, interesting behaviour from a lot of these types, just read their fucking memoirs.
Their autobiography.
They wrote it.
Read their
biography. They've written it
themselves. They love talking about it. Yeah,
so don't, I mean, really, I mean, I'll stop short of saying actual names for obvious reasons, but it's a who's who. Yeah. It is a who's who.
Ric Flair.
Now you've said a name.
In a lot of I've said a name.
I'll tell you what, this episode's going to age like a fucking brown banana, this episode.
The WWE was kind of, WWE was celebrating him exposing himself on airplanes and stuff like that as recently as like 4 years ago. And then as the wind changes, they're left with Ric Flair's cock in their hands effectively. and suddenly they're having to sort of go, that never happened. That definitely never happened. Yeah. These men wrote all of this in their autobiographies, wrote all of this in every story they're told. And I can't wait for some more dominoes to start fucking falling, quite frankly.
Who would have thought of it from WWE? It's the last place you'd expect it to be.
No, who would have thought? I know. Yeah. The last place.
On behalf of myself, first and foremost, but our listeners as well, can we talk about something else?
Yeah, all right.
Can we talk about Elon Musk? Because I'm absolutely loving it.
Again, when they fall hard, don't they? It's imagine being the richest man in the world or whatever and losing a lot of that money because you want people to like you.
Exactly that. And this is the thing.
It's so rare that billionaires give a shit.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great because I know people listen to me saying that. I'm loving it. And people are going to go, well, he's trying to subvert democracy and he's done this thing with Twitter and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We can come on to that. And I understand. I'm sympathetic to that viewpoint. But Pete, you've hit the nail on the head. To me, him buying Twitter, it's like a $44 billion football, right? It's basically, you've got no mates. So back in the 80s where I grew up, if you had no mates, you'd get your parents to buy you a football because then everyone would want to play with you. because you had a football, right? Yes, okay, and if you got yourself good one where you started talking about how, oh yeah, I've got this really good Mitre Delta Premier League here, but we can't play on the street with it because I don't want it to get scuffed, so we're going to have to go down the park. And everyone's like, fucking hell, he's got an amazing football. Elon Musk has basically done that, but he spent $44 billion on it and everyone still thinks he's a cunt. There's like a coterie of like basically incels, but mostly male virgins between the age of like 16 and 30 who never really leave their house, who think he's amazing, and everyone else thinks he's a cunt.
So it's so funny because there's so many things about this that are really funny. So he's got a platform that is never made any money. Their best year, they never made any money, yeah. Right? Twitter. He's bought that. He's paid for that, right? And he has leveraged that deal by spending a lot of, like, you know, the Saudi investment fund, for one. Notable, all these people who are having a go at fucking Toon fans, still tweeting away. Number two...
Right into the camera now, was that directly at me?
Yeah. No, not you.
Because I've got no morals. No.
You don't have a go at Newcastle fans, though. I probably have more of a go at them. But I just think it's stark.
Mostly yourself.
No one's talking about that. I look into the mirror quite a lot. So he's sort of leveraged that deal with a bit of quite dodgy investment, and also leveraging it on his Tesla stock, effectively, so that when Twitter's, you know, fortunes are now intrinsically attached to Tesla stock. So if, like, GM Motors, and it's been talked about quite a lot, GM Motors just sort of go, right, well, there's an opportunity. We'll pull all our advertising, so the share price of Twitter goes down, so the share price of Tesla goes down, so we fucked our major competitor in the electric car market. It is astonishingly fun.
Yeah.
What an... And any dickhead could have seen that coming. But because Elon Musk is Elon Musk, this is what he
does. Also,
he's not listening to anyone who's got fucking any sense in the
and because he's got this idea. A lot of people who are super successful like this, I've observed, or it has been observed, sorry, have this situation where they think, I was successful at this, and I'm now... I mean, look, because to be honest, you know, forget all the morals of it and all the other stuff like that. I'm not talking about that because that's a conversation for another day, probably. But the fact is, he was the richest man in the world, right? That doesn't happen to everyone by definition. So he clearly has some kind of confirmation bias that he's brilliant, right? And I understand that. I can empathise with that. But what he's done is what a lot of people like that do. They go, I can do this, so really, I'm probably the best placed person to solve all the other problems, and I'm going to do that. And it always goes wrong. But the thing that really hit home for me is just... I don't want to get too high-minded about it. I can't solve all the world problems because I'm not clever enough, and neither of us is. But it's what is funny to me is when you drill down into like the human tragedy of it and the human kind of nature of it, because I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if much was made of it because I think people just thought, oh, right, he's just been a bit weird. Like, his announcement video that he'd bought Twitter was walked into Twitter's building carrying a bathroom sink. That sink in, right? And I thought to myself, basically, you've announced this massive deal by essentially doing a joke that Lee Evans would have done in like 1994. It's like, not only is it shit, because it is shit. I mean, if you and I sat down and wrote some jokes, we would dismiss that straight away. And we're not even fucking professional comedians or whatever you want to call them. That's how he's chosen to announce it. And it really is like... The tragedy at the base of it all is like, look, guys, it's not about the $44 billion that I could have spent, you know, helping a load of people in impoverished parts of the world. It's about me just being quite a cool, funny guy, and I think you should really understand that. It's like, mate, fucking what are you doing? Like, if you can get to that level of success and you still don't feel, like, comfortable, that is very inspirational for the rest of us, I'm telling you that.
Yeah, it's more like, I wouldn't say it's Lee Evans, because Lee Evans was like a kind of manic kind of running
around. Yeah, I don't know why I said Lee Evans, because I actually really liked Lee Evans in the 90s, and he wasn't really a slapstick kind of guy.
Not Tim Vine. It was Tim Vine's brother.
Milton Jones.
The other Vine. The other Vine.
Jeremy Vine.
No. Oh, yeah. Tim. Yeah. Jeremy Vine is the brother of Tim Vine, and Tim Vine is a stand-up.
Yeah.
Tim Vine.
Yeah.
That's his joke. But he's not a prop comedian. I don't know. Carrot Top.
Yeah, that's what I heard someone else say. Someone else said Carrot Top. But I didn't say Carrot Top because I'm not sure if many of our British audience would know who Carrot Top is. But anyway, so it's I mean, it's astonishing to me. Like, and what's also really funny as well, because I just find on this, because I know people find Elon Musk a little bit of a toxic character, but I do think it's fun to subvert these kind of people and undermine them. We've kind of taken the piss out of them. What's really funny to me as well, right? So he obviously thinks he's really successful, and as I've said, on his own terms, maybe, you know, in certain ways he is. Obviously, we can't really deny that. But every time he suggests something that he's going to do, right, a load of really clever people just bang straight in the replies. Go, well, you can't do that because of this. And he gets more and more frustrated, and then just by the end of it, it's like this complete like race to the bottom, where at the end of it, it always ends with Elon Musk just going, free speech, free speech.
Free speech. But it's if like, AOC criticises me, I yeah, will.
Elon, it's not about free speech. That was a crap idea. We all have them. You know, people are going to pull you up on it. You're in the firing line here. People are going to pull you up for a shit idea. If you have a good one.
So this morning at 7:36 a.m., Lord Sugar, Alan Sugar, you know, one of our most successful businessmen in the 80s, Amstrad, etc. He is tweeting, how is Suki going to get out of trouble when she did not kill the fellow at BBC EastEnders? He's watching EastEnders at 7 o'clock in the morning,
He is a character.
He's a character, but he's not a dangerous character right now because he hasn't got that much money compared to other people.
But he has done a racism before, though.
I imagine he did like an old man men like him stumble into it. Stumbles into them every now and again. Do you remember his moon video where he thought the moon was really quick and big in Russia?
That's the thing. Like that moon thing was odd because I totally am sympathetic to older people being confused by tech because I'm kind of one of them, right?
But that's the moon.
Made a billion quid and you don't know what the moon is. Like, come on. That gives fuel to the people who think that, you know, basically becoming really wealthy is a large percentage down to the fact that, like, it's circumstances and timing and all that kind of stuff, which I'm sure it probably is. But I do like to think there's some kind of meritocracy involved in life, because otherwise there's no point getting up in the morning. But then you see Alan Sugar and you go, for fuck's sake, Alan.
But it is, it's men who've lived in the city all their lives and, like, you know, their life is just, you know, who's wearing the best shoes, who's got the best fucking watch and all that stuff. And you make your way,
you
and it's all the big, what do you mean? Who wears the
you
best shoes?
You definitely wear the best shoes. I'm not even wearing a watch. You can see.
There you go.
Can I just say, I once went to a house party years ago. It's quite late and I was out in the garden. Probably, I might have even been smoking a doob. I can't remember. It was ages ago.
Steady,
so
mate.
It must have been at least 15 years ago.
You're going to get cancelled in a minute with that kind of talk.
I'm uncancellable though, because I would quite welcome it.
I just want to rip off that plastic.
I probably do. If I'm being totally honest with myself, I probably do need a reason for someone to kick me up the arse to get me to do something else. So, but anyway, so so I was in. And I promise you this is true. I might have even told this story before, but if I have, it's a long time ago. And I was in the garden. There's about four or five people in the garden, and there was a lady there who was obviously at the party as well, who I didn't know, and everyone just got talking, and it became quite clear that she didn't know that the moon and the sun were different things. So right, she had gone through a lot, and I'm not criticising her. Everyone's got gaps in their knowledge. I mean, it's mad. Personally, I think it's mad, but she kind of was obviously thought that. Really, because one, you never saw two at the same time, which of course you do sometimes, but I guess she had never noticed that. She just thought, oh, it's, you know, it's night, and one's night and one's the light day version of it, right? And I found that, and that stayed with me, as you can probably tell. I'm someone who, I think about that quite a lot, because I think she was like an outwardly successful person, doing fine, having a great time, lots of friends, all the rest of it. So I thought, you know, sometimes people don't know things, and that's fine. And at the time, I probably thought it was funny, because I'm arrogant and smug. What I'm trying to say is, Alan Sugar's become a billionaire not knowing that. Yeah. So what does that tell us about life? When you see people like Elon, when you see people like Alan Sugar, when you see people like, you know, like, I'll tell you another example in a slightly different way. That guy Gavin Williamson, that MP, Sir Gavin Williamson, he's done fuck all. Like, he's done nothing. And everything he has done has been terrible, like objectively terrible. Knighthood. The world's fucked is what I'm trying to say. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's just endlessly. I'm sure, you know, yeah, it's just endlessly.
I also, because I had a situation, because as you know, Pete, I am naturally quite a self-regarding man. And I thought about whether I would accept an honour like that, if it ever came up, right? MBE, OBE, Knighthood, all that. I know I'm never going to get one, but just like as a thought experiment, right? And I always thought to myself, you know what? It would mean so much to my family that I would definitely accept it, even though I do have.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, but I do.
That's how they get you. Oh, I'll go in the, into the establishment and subvert from within. That's what they always say, aren't they?
Well, no, I wouldn't do that bit. But I'm just saying that
I'd respect. Yeah,
exactly. No, I was just saying that I probably would accept it, right? And do you know what tipped me over the edge? Gavin Williamson. I don't want to be a part of it.
Don't want to be part of that, right?
Have you seen his face alone?
After all of the ones, we started the show talking about one who's probably had a knighthood, a famous man.
Yeah, why don't I take exception at Jimmy Savile thinking about it? Why has Gavin Williamson annoyed me more? I don't know, he just has. I don't know why. So what do you think is going to happen with Elon? What's the end game? Because a lot of people say, you know, people are leaving. Well, I've definitely seen loads of people leave Twitter. My feed is a lot quieter. So what do you think the end game is here?
Yeah, because I mean, so they're leaving Twitter because of the Elon thing rather than the where the money's come from. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's funny people's morals, isn't it?
Funny bit of morals, isn't it? What do I think about? I think they'll probably just tank it. I mean, do you remember when? Oh God, BuzzFeed. Do you remember BuzzFeed? That went down the fucking Swanee, didn't it? Like these things that we think are ever present, they're going to be present for a very long time. They don't. So like the people can walk away. Places can feel terrible and awful. And it's a shame because you know a lot of people get a lot of solace and a lot of support and you know work, and they base their entire careers around you know people accessing them on Twitter. Yeah. So it's
Well, I don't think the Ramble, which was a genesis of Stack, would have succeeded without Twitter. Personally,
true.
I don't think it would. True. I'm not sure how important it is now, but I think at the time it was really important. But I was just quickly because I know we've got to go for a break. But I also find it interesting that these tech people like Zuckerberg and like Jack Dorsey and some others, I guess Page and Brin and the Google guys. What's interesting to me is that they've created things that society thinks are so intrinsic to modern life. They're so successful that the argument seems to be this is actually a public interest issue rather than a private company doing its thing issue. It's so influential that actually, because if you look at it on paper, so say Twitter, it's a successful company. It's never, as you say, it's never made any money, but it's got a huge user base and its influence is massive. And some people seem to philosophically be saying that it shouldn't be able to be a private company to be bought and sold on the whims of some wealthy person who wants to do whatever they want with it, when actually in reality there's nothing to stop that, and it's debatable whether there should be, because it's just a company that didn't exist before and now it does. Now if someone creates something that's so successful that it's got an kind of quantifiable influence on people's everyday lives to the point where it can subvert democracy in the world's biggest democracy, then I guess the idea is that that shouldn't be allowed to happen. So it needs to go into public hands or whatever. But that philosophically seems like quite a weird concept to me.
Yeah,
because you don't have to use it. It's successful. Not compulsory, right? You don't have to use it.
No,
like it's not offering really. It's not really in real terms offering anything other than, you know, I guess the hive mind of people's opinions. And I don't think anyone really envisaged it could ever be that powerful, but it is, and you know, and here we are. And for Musk to, I mean, eventually, I guess you're probably tank it or run it into the ground or whatever, and people will move on, gravitate to another social media kind of website, because I think people do seem to need it. They seem like they need it, or they feel like they need it.
Yeah.
And if they do, the only thing you can hope for is that mistakes that have happened with Twitter and with Facebook and stuff, because Facebook's going through a terrible time financially at the moment as well, that those mistakes can be rectified and learned from, and then we can get a better place. But I tried looking at that Mastodon site that everyone's talking about. Fucking baffling to me. Absolutely baffling.
What is Mastodon? I've never heard
so
of it.
So Mastodon is...
Is it Twitter replacement?
I actually asked Charlie at Stack to look into it because everyone seems to be gravitating towards it. It's a decentralized social media platform.
I mean, that
of loads of different servers that do cross over, but there's no one central kind of powerful decision maker.
But who's paying? But who's paying for the server?
I think it's run voluntarily.
Okay, right. Okay.
I think it's run like
as with anything that's decentralized and stuff. It's just always in the same way. the idea of the metaverse is supposed to be decentralized, but the most, the biggest incarnations of the metaverse is obviously Facebook and Roblox and stuff like that, which are very centralized. You know, the decentralized metaverse doesn't exist, probably will never exist, because no one's got that amount of money to run it effectively. Good luck to them. I've never heard of Mastodon. Isn't it interesting, though? Everyone's got their own little kind of like bubbles, and I've been quiet this weekend, but I've not noticed the word Mastodon being discussed anywhere. It's weird.
Right, yeah. That it's come up a lot, I think, because I follow a lot of... Because, I'm just a bit of a nerd for history and politics and stuff. And a lot of people that I follow have been spooked by this blue check thing, this blue tick thing. Mm. And now they're saying that, like, I'm setting myself up over here because if it goes to shit, I need to somewhere to be able to... I need somewhere to be able to kind of, I guess, like, promote my content and stuff.
Get my truth out.
Yeah, and so that's why. But it looks... I think it's run like, I don't know, it's essentially, I think it's just run by donations from users and right, people. Okay. I think the people who set up the separate servers have an obligation to give 3 months notice if they want to close their server to give people time to move to another one, basically. The problem is, obviously, the big success thing behind Twitter is the simplicity of it, right? And Mastodon doesn't to me seem simple. I've seen as many people saying, I've just tried to go onto Mastodon, I don't understand what I'm doing, as I have saying, come to Mastodon, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, Pete, let's have a break. We've got to come back and we've got to squeeze some batteries in because we're way over time, mate.
Got to squeeze some, pop some batteries right up there. Okay, we'll be back in a second.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. Why One Question Time is a Stack production.
We're back with Luke Pete Shaw. We've only got seconds to get our batteries in before our mummy comes in and slaps our hands and says, stop with this Luke and Pete Shaw nonsense. It is bath time. Lindsay has come in with a message. Hello to Lindsay in Sydney, Australia.
What accent was that,
Hi there, Luke. Oh, I don't know, mate. Do you want to twiddle the sideies a little? Hi there, Luke and the Pete. I'm sure you can appreciate the excitement one would feel knowing that there's another Luke and Pete show listening in your workplace. I was delighted to hear that a fellow Ant Store employee, Gary, had emailed in. As our friend Gary mentioned, there are security issues regarding photography at our workplace. But thank you, Gary, for being the trailblazer in this regard, as I've been sitting on these potential new players for a while. As it turns out, radiation monitoring equipment is a potential goldmine for new players, as the batteries can't immediately be thrown out without being scanned first. You've got to check whether they're radioactive. Fantastic.
Wow, that's cool.
This means a pile of old batteries can build up in a lab over many years before my colleagues at... Whoa.
Where'd that come from?
Whoa. The Aussie brain. Like Venom, I'm being taken over by an Aussie version of me.
That's not even how Australians say colleagues either.
Colleagues? Before my colleagues and I get called to clear them, are either these new players? HW Max, super heavy duty. You flaming galah, let me know. Whether that's and we've also got Arlec rechargeable super performance from Lindsay.
Yeah, I'm checking them out, and both of them are new players. So you're sitting on the gold mine there, Lindsay. You and your pal Gary. Well, I don't actually know if you're pals. Yeah. I guess
like Elon Musk. Oh no, wait, it was Jewels.
Yeah, it was Jewels. Yeah, Emerald specifically, I think. But HW Max super heavy duty and Arlec rechargeable super performance are brand new players. So congratulations to you. That's 2 out of 2. Well done. Thank you for sending them in. Thank you for really, I mean, taking a massive risk on your own employment for sending them in.
It's good stuff.
Appreciate it. And I also appreciate the fact that that the radiation issue can't reach us via the internet. But those two are definitely going straight into the battery daddy. Thank you very much indeed.
I think if we had like a battery daddy with the Arlec in particular is a beautifully designed sort of multicolour kind of rainbow monstrosity.
Beautiful. What is it? This is like a 9 volt to me, isn't it? Or is it a D? It's a D, isn't it?
It's a big D. Rechargeable as well. I think if we had those in the battery daddy, we'd have like a radioactive battery daddy, which is the sort of thing you'd see in like Fallout 3. But we're like, that's what gets upgraded. Like, you have your normal battery daddy, then you have a special thing that does more damage to you, but you will have to take Rad-X to get rid of the radiation on your person. Yeah. Anyway, good Fergus from Kirkintilloch, Ansman Industrial. If you go searching for that, I'll read the email out. These batteries were given to me in a Ziploc bag by my wife's cousin. He has access to plenty...
Just no explanation.
The drugs these kids are into these days. He has access to plenty of them at work, and I borrowed a few for my home use. Not my first email, but my first battery attempt with the Ansman Industrial. I'm not overly confident. Hey, give yourself a bit of scope there. I think these might be in your play, you know.
Should I do it in the style of Jeff Stelling on Soccer Saturday?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, here we go. Fergus has emailed in with a battery and says he's not overly confident. But he should be, Chris Kamara.
Yeah,
new player.
Good stuff. Well done.
Well done.
Mate.
It's 3 out of 3, man. This is crazy. Yeah. Returns.
Hello to Alex. Hi lads. Please see the attached image. I wonder if Summit is a new player. They sound pretty exciting. Specific batteries for camping gear, apparently. I got them in a set of camping lamps from a market in Stratford upon Avon while on a recent trip there. I couldn't turn them down too for a tenner. Also, regarding local fish and chip prices in Sheffield, recently went to buy 2 medium cods with chips and curry sauce and mushy peas, which came to £21. I thought this was outrageous for a relatively northern and modest city. I swear fish and chips used to be about a 15 years ago when I was growing up in the northwest, probably right. John's Chip Bar in Hartlepool was probably about that.
Yeah, but
I'd
15
say.
Years ago, I mean, inflation's currently
half lot 350 usually.
But Pete, inflation's like at 10% now. Oh. So I mean, I'm not surprised that 15 years ago things were cheaper. But I take the point. I started this whole debate by how expensive the shit is, so I get it. But anyway, Summit—they are new players as well. So I mean, we've got a full clean sweep this week. Amazing, really.
Lovely.
Let's do some more fish and chips. We got a load of fish and chip shop emails. Let's do some on Monday.
Yeah.
Three out of three on the old batteries, Pete. You got to give yourself a hand.
It's a good.
Great stuff.
Good stuff. Well done. Well done, Lindsay. Well done, Fergus. And well done, Alex. We'll be back on Monday for more silliness. We will be delving. We'll be jamming our hand into a big bucket of mushy peas and gravy just for you guys. Yeah. But in the meantime, have a great Thursday. Maybe you listen to this on a Friday and you're thinking, yes, I'm ready for the weekend. I'm listening to two blokes talk about batteries. That's how I want to start my weekend.
Yeah. Nicely put, mate. I think Fridays generally are the least depressing day of the week. So good for them. I can't wait for Friday myself.
See you on Monday. That's a hot.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.